So today we are looking at a seventh commandment, and as we turn to this commandment, and as I was thinking about today's study and this commandment and what to say, right off the bat, I have to say this, that perhaps this is one of the most difficult subject that I have to deal with in all these times that I've been doing the Bible study. On a surface, there are certain things that come to our mind, or at least certain things that we have over time picked up as far as this commandment goes. And so today, as we look at Exodus chapter 20, verse 14, it's a very simple commandment. It's only one sentence. It says, "You shall not commit adultery." And right off the bat, as we read that, there are two things that came to my mind. That when you read this commandment on surface, it seems like this commandment is for a married person. And secondly, especially when you take that in a context with all the other scripture that we have, that it deals with men. You know, it specifically looks like it's talking to men. When you think about that for a little while, you kind of go a little bit deeper in there, right? One truth that is very evident in the scripture is, right, a commandment is never given for a particular group of people. These 10 commandments, as we started looking at it, what we saw is they were the moral code for the society. It was not limited to the Israelites. It was not limited to any one ethnicity or one religious group. It was for the whole world, the mankind. And so therefore, when you look at this commandment, and it's even when you look at Leviticus chapter 18 and 18:18, where it gives a little bit more detail about the adultery and what it means. And so often in the scripture, men are addressed when it comes to this particular commandment, you might fall into that trap as well. And so as I was thinking about what to say and what not to say, especially in a family setting, the family Bible study, you know, my kids are here, my mother is here, and so it's an uncomfortable subject. But to simply explain this commandment is, it's what it says is a sexual intimacy outside the bond of marriage is not allowed, even if it happens to be between two consenting adults. So that means extramarital sex or premarital sex. Just because you are an adult, if you are, you know, living outside of your parents' home, in our context, in a family context, you know, you are over 21, 25, 30, 35, especially the culture that we live in, you know, where kids move out, where kids have their own life, they are, you know, perhaps their own apartment, and they function and they act like an adult in many ways. In this particular commandment, right? And right there and then, it is not limited to a married man, right? And when I, today, when I use the term men, right? Please understand that women are not excluded, okay? They are included in this. This commandment applies to you just as much as it applies to a man. And so, to kind of get a better understanding of this, you know, and as I was preparing and I was thinking what to say, you know, and more that I thought about it, this is at least a 2 to 3 hour study that we are going to do in perhaps 30 minutes, 35 minutes at the most. There is no way for me to do a complete justice, a complete teaching on this. And perhaps I'm not as prepared as I should be. And if God gives an opportunity at some point, I will certainly do an in-depth study into this subject. And one of the first thing that came to my mind when it comes to this commandment is, you know, how rare is it that we have heard a teaching on adultery and the consequences of adultery? Yes, we might have heard a message on the adulterous woman in the Gospel of John, but specifically this commandment and what the Old Testament, as well as the New Testament, what Paul has to say on this subject, our churches do not teach on this. And wherever you are, you know, perhaps you have had a different experience than I have had, but people do not address this subject as important as it is. Because when you look at all these commandments, or you look at a sin in general, every sin is equally damning, right? It's equally bad. There is no higher sin or a lower sin, right? There are no rank of sin. Oh, lying is better than, you know, all sin are sin. You break one, you know, you are guilty, right? Having said that though, right, not all sins are equally destructive, right? Lying is not as destructive as murder. And in the same sense, this adultery perhaps is the most destructive commandment that we have, because it causes you a spiritual loss. And you know what? I know I am speaking to a choir. All of you have grown up in a church, at least those of you who are listening now, right? And you say, oh, I don't have this problem. I'm a married man. I have never strayed. I have never had a relationship outside of my marriage. You know, I haven't slept with any other woman. I haven't slept with any other man outside of my marriage, right? But if you think this is one commandment that you can skip, let me give you an example, okay? Let me give you an example of David, a man after God's heart. Did he fall into this, did he fall into sin concerning this commandment? Let me give you an example of Solomon, who is called the wisest man in the Bible, right? Did he fall into this trap, right? Let me give you another example of a man who was a Nazirite, perhaps the strongest man as far as the physical strength goes, right? Samson, did he have this problem, right? A He-Man who had a she problem. Right, he had a, these are men, Samson, Solomon, David. If this man had an issue with this commandment, and if you really think about the time in their life when they had those issues, right? It wasn't during the time of struggle. It wasn't when David was running in distress from Saul, right? All over the place for years, that he fell into a relationship with Bathsheba. It is when he was a king, a time of prosperity. Same goes for Solomon. And when you think about Samson, and if you actually go back and read Judges chapter 15, end of Judges 15, he has a great victory. He kills 1,000 Philistines with a donkey's jawbone, okay? And he prays to God. God provides him water. He has this great spiritual high. And as you open up chapter 16, the very first thing it's written over there is, he went and visited a prostitute. If you think you are above this, let me ask you, are you stronger than David, Solomon, and Samson? No one is above this. When you read Proverbs chapter 7, verse 26, tells you there that many mighty men have fallen victim to this. And as I said, I'm just going to let the scripture speak to you today. Okay, I'm going to just let going to let the scripture speak to you today. When you look at Proverbs, and we are going to go to Proverbs. When you look at chapter 5, chapter 6 and 7, that gives you a warning about this type of a relationship. Okay? And what it tells you is, it is ultimately or eventually this kind of a relationship, a sex out of the marriage, is disappointing. What it also tells you, it's gradually destructive, right? And then what it tells you is, it is deadly. Okay, turn with me to Proverbs 5 and let's see what God has to show us here. And I hope my message gets through to you. I hope that what is in my heart, you hear it. As I'm being very careful with my words and where I go with this particular teaching, right? So here it says, my son, pay attention to my wisdom. Lend your ear to my understanding, that you may preserve discretion and your lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of an immoral woman, certain places it's over there, it says a strange woman, okay, drip with honey, and her mouth is smoother than oil, but in the end she is a bitter as wormwood, sharp as two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps by a hold of hell. Lest you ponder her path of life, her ways are unstable. And what we can say here is, what starts out good, right, sweetness turns into bitterness. And that word strange woman or immoral woman, as I read it here, if you read it in the original translation, it literally means someone who you are not related to. Okay, so sometimes, you know, when you look at this Proverbs 5 and some of the warning that Solomon gives to his son and through that to us, we look at it is that it's talking about a prostitute. No, it is talking about any woman that is going to seduce you and make you go in the path that you should not go into. Right? As we look at verses 7 to 14, and I'm just simply giving you a scripture. I'm not even diving deep. I think the scripture is very, very straightforward, right? I think you understand when it says, but in the end she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps lay hold of hell. You know, when you have a relationship outside of the your marriage, right? And then you find this woman, right? Since I'm a man, I'm going to talk from that perspective. We find this woman who's attractive, you know, and she understands you better than your wife somehow, right? You have this great chemistry, and everything is hunky-dory. Everything is just all roses, right? Until a little bit of time passes. And then you see the bitterness, okay? The two-edged sword, the position you have put yourself into, okay? Her feet go down to death, her steps lay hold of hell. When Solomon is writing this, okay, remember the life of Solomon. It is those women that he had relationship with led him to pagan worship and to the places where they were used to sacrifice children into the worship of Baal. And he got into all these things. And what he's basically saying is that leads you to death, right? When something or someone leads you away from a path of God and gets you to worship something else, they are leading you into the path of death. And that's what he's talking about. When we look at the next section, verses 7 to 14, what it's showing over there is gain to loss. Okay, it says, therefore, hear me now, my children, and do not depart from the word of my mouth. Remove your way far from her, and do not go near the door of her house. This is an important word, especially, you know, if you are a young person who's listening, okay? And you know what? I got to correct myself. It doesn't matter what age you are, right? Because Paul tells Timothy, right, flee youthful lust. David was 50 when he fell into that youthful lust. So I shouldn't say that if you are young, right? Doesn't matter what age you are. This verse 8 is an important verse to remember. It says, remove your way far from her and do not go near the door of her house. What it tells us to do is what Joseph did, right, with the Potiphar's wife. He didn't try to fight it. He didn't say, oh, I'm going to be strong. I'm going to stay here and I'm going to fight this temptation. There is certain things, but certainly this particular temptation, it tells us specifically, flee. This is the only way. This is the only way you are not going to fall into this. Flee. Remove your way far from her. And do not go near the door of her house. And so today's day and age where we are, okay, what this tells us is, right, don't follow her on the Facebook. Don't look at her Instagram page. Stay away. Don't try to go back and, find your college reunion or your high school reunion and try to look up that first girlfriend or the first boyfriend that you had. Oh, she understood me so well and we had such a great time. Don't look back fondly. Try to connect with those people, right? And fall into a temptation. It says, remove your way far from her and do not go near the door of her house. Flee. And this is not limited to a married person. This applies to an unmarried person as well. As I said, there is no such thing as a casual sex. There is no such thing as a one-night stand. There is no such thing as an extramarital or premarital sex. Because, actually, matter of fact, if you turn with me to Genesis chapter 5, I want to show you something there. Genesis chapter 5, I believe it's verse 2. Let me be clear. Yes, verse 2. This is after Eve and Adam, right? It says, he created them male and female and blessed them and called them mankind. And that word mankind in a Hebrew is word Adam, meaning men, meaning they become one. They become one. And what this is a one act when a man and a woman has that intimate relationship, that they come together and they become one soul. And when you get into that sexual relationship before marriage, someone who you're not going to be married to, right, you are literally living a part of yourself. You are losing a part of yourself. And this is so important for you to remember. Verse 9, it says, lest you give your honor to others and your ears to the cruel one, lest aliens be filled with your wealth and your labors go to the house of a foreigner, and you mourn at last when your flesh and your body are consumed, and say, I have hated instructions and my heart despised correction. I have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to those who instructed me. I was on the verge of total ruin in the midst of the assembly and congregation. As I said, gain turns into a loss, because believe me, if you think it is hard to buy all the gifts that you have to buy for your wife, imagine if you had to do it for two women. It's not cheap. I'm not trying to make this a financial thing, okay? But what you think of as gain is going to turn into a loss. And that's what this verses are talking about. When we get into the verses 15 to 20, what it talks about is a purity getting into pollution. Okay, drink water from your own cistern and running water from your own well. And what it's talking about that is, okay, what it is talking about over there is in marriage, okay, God has given us five drives, five physical drives in our body, First and foremost, and most important, is air. We need to breathe to live. If you don't breathe, if you don't have air, you're dead. Second and third is you need to drink water and you need to eat. Those three things, that drive is within us. You can go a few days without it, but you have that need. And when you drink and you eat, then you have a need, right, to remove the waste from your body. That is another drive that you have no control over it. The fifth drive is the drive, it's the sexual drive, okay? And God has put in there because God told Adam and Eve that go and multiply, right? We need to, so sex is for procreation, meaning reproduction, to have babies, as well as recreation. It is something that we enjoy. And what the verse 15 is telling us is, within the marriage, confined of marriage, in your marriage bed, right? Enjoy it freely and as much as you like. Drink water from your own cistern and running water from your own well. Freely and frequently. If you go to Hebrews 13, it's a great teaching on a marriage. If you ever have a marriage seminar, I plan to speak on that is that verse over there about the marriage bed. So drink water from your own cistern and running water from your own well. Should your fountains be dispersed abroad, streams of water in the streets? And what basically he's saying is, don't go out having kids that you're not showing any responsibility toward within the marriage. Let them be only your and not for strangers with you. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of your youth. As loving deer and a graceful doe, let her breast satisfy you at all times and always be enraptured with her love. For why should my son be enraptured by an immoral woman? You should be in love with your wife. You should enjoy her. You should be very passionate about her. You should be crazy about her. That's what these verses are talking about. All those things that you see on a movie screen, right? You see an actress or someone that you find attractive, right? You should be having those feelings for your wife. For why should you, my son, be enraptured by an immoral woman? And yes, I understand, right, that you are not in a physical relationship with somebody that you see on the screen, or some from the lady's perspective, a man that you find attractive. But what did Jesus said when he was speaking about this commandment? That even if you look at a woman and have a lustful thought, you have broken this commandment. And we are going to speak about that a little bit later on, hopefully. For why should you, my son, be enraptured by an immoral woman and be embraced in the arms of a seductress? For the way of men are before the eye of the Lord, and he ponders all his path. His own iniquity entrap the wicked man, and he is caught in the cords of his sin. He shall die for the lack of instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray. And what this three words are telling you is, we go from being free to a bondage. That's what Paul tells us in Romans chapter 6. The one who you serve, you are in a bondage to that. And so it's very clear that this sin will bind you. Right? What happened to Samson, if you are familiar with the story of the Samson? First, he was bound, then he was blinded, and then he was grinding. And this is what the sin does to you. First of all, it binds you, then it blinds you, and then you find yourself grinding and in out of the favor with God. Very quickly, I can't believe that my time is already up, but when we go further into the chapter 6, And if you go to verse 20, I'm just going to give you very quickly what it talks about, right? Verse 20 to 24, what we see is we see the loss of the word of God. He has taken a bag of money with him and will come home on the, chapter 6, verse 20. My son, keep your father's command and do not forsake the law of your mother. Bind them continually upon your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you roam, they will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep you. And when you awake, they will speak with you. For the commandment is a lamp and the law is a light. Reproof of instruction are the way of life. To keep you from the evil woman, from the flattering tongue of a seductress. So what happens when you fall for an evil woman and one that seduces you? You lose all the stuff that I just read. The mother and father's instructions, the commandments, which is a law, which is a lamp and a light into your path. That's what happens. And now we get back again when we read the verses 25 and 26. As I said, you know, having an affair is not cheap. Do not lust after her beauty in your heart, nor let her allure you with her eyelids. For by means of a harlot, a man is reduced to a crust of bread. Basically, you know, he's broke all the time. And an adulteress will prey upon his precious life. This is, this is serious stuff, you know. Then you look at it, verses 27 to 31, it talks about you lose the enjoyment. Okay, look what it says. Can a man take a fire to his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one walk on a hot coal and his feet not be seared? So he who goes in his neighbor's wife, whoever touches her shall not be innocent. People do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy himself when he's starving. Yet when he is found, he must restore sevenfold. He may have to give up all the substance of his house. And what he's basically saying over here is, you know, when you are hungry, and if there is a bread, if you're going to take that bread and eat it, it might satisfy your hunger there and then, but there is a consequences that you are facing. And what it's talking about here is, you know, if you have a fire, if you have a fireplace in your home, that fireplace, it looks great, right? In the wintertime, it provides you warmth. It's a nice place to sit and just enjoy the glow of the flames, the warmth. The fire is good for cooking, right? Keeping us warm and all of those things. But if I take some of those that wood out of the fireplace and put it in the middle of my living room, guess what happens? It creates a chaos. It's a disaster. It's destruction, right? Fire contained is very, very useful to us. But if that same fire is out of control, then it creates a destruction. And that is exactly what it is talking about here. When we do not control our passion and go outside of our marriage and outside of our relationship, that fire creates a destruction. And so that is a loss of enjoyment. And look at verse 32. Whoever commits adultery with a woman lacks understanding. At some places it says, loses their soul. When David committed the act that he committed, this guy who was so committed to God, who was a warrior, he knew how to plot and plan in a battlefield. He was not a dumb guy. Now he started to come up with these ideas to somehow get away with it, and that led him to a murder. And we know what happened. Whoever commits adultery with a woman lacks understanding. That is a verse that I believe you should have underlined in your Bible. Whoever commits adultery lacks understanding. Let's just move on. All right. Actually, it says he who does so destroys his own soul. That you are destroying your own soul. And I some other day we can really go in depth what that actually really means. Verse 33 to 35, end of the chapter, what it tells us is you lose your peace. Wounds and dishonor he will get, and his reproach will not be wiped away. For jealousy is a husband's fury, therefore he will not spare in the day of vengeance. He will accept no recompense, nor will he be appeased though you give many gifts. You're going to lose your peace. And so as we look at this, and I know I have gone very fast and, you know, covered a lot of, given you a lot of verses, but I just wanted the scripture to speak to you. And so if you are thinking about this, you know, and if you are, God forbid, you are involved in this, you need to repent and turn from it. And as I mentioned about Jesus and his definition of adultery, you know, it covers those things that we watch in privacy of our home. Right now, the phone makes it very easy for us to log on to certain sites that we shouldn't be going at. Right? Pornography is a big problem, because pornography destroys marriage just as much as if you were to have an affair with somebody. Do you know, when you actually do the study, and because of the setting that we are, I'm not sharing some of the things that I would share if you were just men sitting here. But do you know that there are men who rather sit and watch pornography than be intimate with their wife? And at this point, that holds true for women as well. There are couples who, they individually, in their own time, rather entertain themselves that way than to be together in an intimacy. This is a problem. That's a problem. And when you watch those kind of things, your expectation from your wife or your husband changes, and that changes your relationship. And so, without going further into it, I'm going to just stop right there. But if you have committed this sin, right, I want to remind you, and in the interest of time, I'm not reading this, but if you remember Gospel of John chapter 8, when those men, the Pharisees, bring that adulterous woman to Jesus to entrap him, right? What does Jesus tell that woman? See, he never denied, or he never said that she was not an adulterous woman. He knew that she had committed an adultery. But he said to her, "No one has condemned you, and neither do I. Go and sin no more." And what that tells me is, we have an ability, we have a power, through the help of Holy Spirit, to overcome this sin, just like any other sin. And so if you are struggling, if you have committed an adultery, there is a repentance, there is a forgiveness that is available to you. There is no sin that is above God's love and his forgiveness. And in his strength, whatever struggle that you might have, if you have an addiction to pornography, if you have lustful thoughts or lustful desires, you are able to overcome that if you give them to Jesus, if you surrender it to Jesus. And in his mercy and his grace, not only will he forgive you, but he will strengthen you to overcome this. And he will restore what the locust has eaten up. Now, every action has consequences. So be careful where you're going. Be careful where you're going. This is why Satan is attacking the marriage. And the culture that we live in, where the sex outside of the marriage is glorified, celebrated, right? And this commandment, before I forget, this commandment, although it just talks about the adultery, it covers all the other sexual sins mentioned in the Bible, such as homosexuality, Romans 1, 18-32, Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it is all included within this commandment. And as I said, I know I did not do justice to this commandment. I just don't have enough time, and this requires an in-depth study. But I hope those of you who are listening understand it a little bit better. Understand it a little better. And what it says, that do not defile a marriage bed. And although we might not have actually committed that act, if we have lustful thoughts, we need to repent, surrender it to God, and then He is able to forgive whatever we feel is an unforgiving sin. Oh, Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, Lord. Thank you for guiding me through this difficult subject, Lord, a subject that, especially in the culture that we come from, Lord, and the conservative thinking that we come from, Lord, it is not an easy subject for us to speak, Lord. But Lord, you have spoken to me last few days, Lord, and you have made it clear that this is something that we need to discuss, Lord. Perhaps I have failed in this particular place, Lord, where I have failed to teach my children that what is required of them, Lord. Perhaps I have failed in myself personally in this matter, Lord, in the way how I think or how casually I took this particular commandment, Lord. So, Lord, if there are any men and women who are listening, Lord, I hope that today we search out our hearts, that we self-examine, Lord. And Lord, if there is any lustful thoughts in our heart, Lord, that we shouldn't have, help us to surrender it to you, Lord. Lord, yes, this is we are men and we are weak, Lord, but there is nothing that we cannot overcome in your strength. So, Lord, strengthen us. Your word says that there is no temptation that we cannot overcome, because with the temptation you have made a way for us to escape it, Lord. So, Lord, I surrender myself, Lord. I put each and every person into your hand. Help us, Lord. Help us. Help us to bring this teaching to where it needs to go. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.